Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I pray that you join in with me and just give him praise and honor to God. I just thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his patience. I really do. God been long-suffering with all of us. God been patient. The Bible tells us in one scripture that God is not slack concerning his promise, but God is long-suffering to us would, not willing that any shall perish. So I just thank and praise the Lord for this day, because truly this is the day that the Lord have made, and I'm learning how to rejoice and be glad in it. And I tell you, even in praising God and giving thanks, you have to do it by faith sometimes, because sometimes based upon your situation, based upon what you experiencing in life and what's happening in your inner circle, even in your surrounding, it'll have you sometime to wonder, where are the Lord? But that's the time when you have to stand on the word. He said he would never leave us, nor would he forsake us. He'll stick closer than a brother. So I just thank and praise the Lord for his integrity. Our creator, our heavenly father, if you've been born again, he is a father of integrity. If God said, I think it's in Numbers 22nd chapter, if God said it, y'all, God will do it. God will do just what he said he's going to do. I haven't lived maybe longer than some of you that have tuned into this broadcast, but I done found God to be faithful. If anybody is unfaithful, it's me. You know, I find myself a lot of time have to repent. But, you know, God ain't never asked us to be perfect, but he want to perfect us. He want us to grow up in the things of God and in the things of Christ. So there, too, again, I do thank and praise the Lord for this day. I send a shout-out to Apostle Armstrong. I thank him and the Lord so much for allowing us to have a part in this broadcast. And I've been talking about the heroes of faith. I call them the heroes of faith, the hall of faith, Hebrews 11 chapter. And I've been still continuing to study about covenant. You know, when I got saved, nobody mentioned anything to me that I can recall about my covenant with God. You know, a lot of times you hear people talk about prosperity, you hear people talk about healing, you hear people talk about protection. But if you study about covenant, if you go in the Old Testament, or just like I said, the way it's done now, you can, if you have a computer, even if you have a phone, you can just go and punch in, type in covenant, and you'll see so much come up about it. But in your covenant, in our covenant with God, everything that we need, no wonder Peter said, I like some Apostle Peter said, he said, God have given us, come on now, if you know it, Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter, the first chapter, he said, God have given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. But before he said that, he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Our faith have to be in what God said or what is written or what Jesus did. Your faith can be in other people's experience. I found that to be true sometimes when it come down to healing or when it come down to receiving or believing what God said in his word. You hear someone else's testimony, and you base your faith. Now, a testimony is supposed to encourage you, enhance your faith. Enhance, you know, it's not to cause you to want to, you know, distrust God or stop believing and trusting in God. It's not supposed to do that. And I had to learn that through one of my mothers, the late Martha Prophetess, Martha Jean Hill. She taught me a lot of things, and I thank God for her. She was there when I first got saved. And a lot of time, any little thing would happen to me, I would call her, you know, not knowing that years later on I found out she couldn't read. But that I would call her, and she would, God would give her scriptures to give me. And I go to it, and sure enough, what she said, it would be written. But I learned that I had to work out my own soul salvation with fear and trembling. She taught me a lot of things. And one of the things she taught me is, as I stated, I had to work out my own soul salvation. I had to develop a relationship with the Trinity, not based upon her experience. Now, some of her experience, she would talk to me about her experience, but she said, but you got to know him for yourself. You got to have some experience with the Lord for yourself. And I'm telling you, a lot of times, people have discredited or cast away their confidence in God because of somebody else's experience with God. You don't do that. You don't do that. You know, I done had people in ministry, some of my mentors died with certain illness, you know, some people in my family, but my faith is not in their experience. I still believe it's God's will for me to be healed. I still believe by the Christ of Jesus, I am healed. I believe that, you know, and I can't let nobody take that away from me. And I say to you that continue to listen at this broadcast, whether it's me or one of my other colleagues that is on this broadcast be talking, never put your faith more in other people's experience than in what God's word say. God watched over his word to perform it. Listen at me good. He said, he told Jeremiah, I watch over my word to perform it. And that's something you got to realize. God going to perform his word in your life based upon your faith and your confidence, and you believe in his God will for you to have it. So, you know, I want to free you up because that God just pressed that upon my heart. Because so many times, as I stated, a lot of people were out. So-and-so would believe in God, and God didn't do it for them, so why should I get involved? No, 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 no. That's not the way it done. You got to put your faith in what God's word say. I love the psalmist. The psalmist 119, the longest psalm in the Bible. I love it because he talk about the laws, the statutes, and the commandments of God. He talk about it. And I mean, sometimes if you just feel encountered, go back and just read it. You know, because it really bring comfort to you. It will strengthen you. Let me. I'm kind of going to it now. To kind of, you know, he talk about, like I said, when we started at the beginning. He said, "Bless the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of God. Blessed are they that keep his, that seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou have commanded us to keep thy precept diligent. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statute. Then shall I not be ashamed. When I have respect unto all thy commandments, I will praise thee with an upright of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgment, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." And like I said, then he got one about comforter and okay, he said, "Eyes to see God's law." That's the 17th verse. "It's a deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thy my eyes that I may behold wonders out of thy law." They talking about his spiritual eyes, his spiritual understanding. "I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it have unto thy judgment at all times. Thou have rebuked the proud, they are cursed, which do error from thy commandment. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimony. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statute." But my thing, I wanted you to just see that, because there too again, God's word is there for us. And like I said, I love when I read Psalms 119. It encouraged me. It let me know the importance, the value of not only knowing what God's word is saying, but doing it. It reminds me of James. James said, don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. And I found out that's the only way we're going to be able to reap from what God's word say. You hear me mention it so many times. The things that God promised us don't automatically just happen. As Osa Thang say, used to say, it don't just fall out the sky. Everything that God promised us, abundant life. When you receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior, that abundant life is in you. It comes. But it have to be developed to the, you have to be developing your faith to the point that you see the manifestation of it. And like I said, sometimes it don't come immediately. You don't see, but you still got to be diligent and be faithful in the things of God. Are you following what I'm saying? But there too again, I'm gonna continue with Hebrews. We were, the Lord took us away Monday, and it really ministered to me. He had us in Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 24th verse. It was talking about leaders. It was talking about people. Was saying that how much they love God and what they did in his name, but their heart wasn't in it. And y'all remember this, and I think this in Galatians, it tells us don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Listen, you might can... the enemy can have you believing that you're getting by and getting away with stuff. That's not true. The all-seeing eye. The old saints, one of the old saints used to tell me, I know y'all, so she referred to, I referred to a lot of the old saints and my ancestor in the Lord because they taught me many things. Just, you know, looking at them and observing their life, having conversation with them, you could tell they had a relationship with God. You know, where you now I know some men do what they supposed to do. I'm not that naive, but the ones that God put in my past to help me out with him. And so my thing is just here, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. That's why don't let the enemy cause you. Now, I'm feeling led to go this way. Don't let the enemy have you to look so much on what leaders are doing and what they're saying that you lose focus on what God wants you to do. That's the spirit of detraction. You know, that's the thing about it. We can allow ourselves to look on what leaders and everybody else is not doing based upon what the words say, and it won't only discourage you, but it'll have you thinking with what you say. Look like they getting away or getting by with everything. They not getting away. They not getting by. God is a merciful God. He a patient God. If he wasn't patient, I wouldn't be here today. I thank God for the blood of Jesus that continue to cleanse us. Okay, we're going to go back. Like I said, we was in Matthew 7, and we were talking about the importance of obedience. And as I've been studying about faith, and in Hebrews 11 chapter, as I stated, when we got to Abraham in that 8th verse, Hebrews 11 and 8, when we got to that, the Lord began to tell me to inject the covenant. And we've been giving you little bits and pieces about the covenant because I don't have enough time to give you all that I know about the covenant. But God is a covenant God. Our Creator is a covenant. You can go from Genesis all the way up into the New Testament. Even Jesus knows that God is a covenant God. The Bible says he keep his covenant. God is a covenant God. And I found out when it come down to covenant is between two people. Even up on the old covenant, God would come in covenant with people, but it was two people. It was a relationship. You know what I mean? It was a relationship. And a covenant was between two people. And one was strong, you know, where the other one was weak, the other strong would take what the other one didn't have, the other one could benefit by it. But we, according to Hebrews, and y'all know we've been, according to Hebrews, it tells us, I think it's in 8th chapter, we have a better covenant We have a better covenant with better promise. And what makes this new covenant so good? We don't have a sin conscience anymore. We don't have a sin nature anymore. The Spirit of God is on the inside of us. We don't have to be running up in people's face all the time and telling them to teach us this or teach us that. Now, right, understand what I'm saying. God will have you to go to church because the Bible says, forsaking not to assemble yourself together. We do have the gift, offer somebody to have the gift of teaching, and God wants you to learn. But what I mean, if you can't do it or you can't get that, you can sit at home and listen at me good. When I say sit at home, I'm not saying don't go to church. And I understand what I'm saying. She said, I can just sit on the, no, you need to go. But my point is, when you read your Bible, you know, when you're away from service and at home and reading your Bible, the Holy Spirit will give you understanding of the word. He would give you understanding. But like I said, when we got to Abraham, but God made a covenant with Noah. A lot of people talk about the rainbow, and God told Noah he would never destroy the earth again with water. That was a covenant, even though we know today that they use in some people to a certain degree, they marking the rainbow. That's the homosexual color that they use, and that's a straight out abomination as well as a dishonor and a disrespect to God. You know, but see, y'all, we live in a fallen world, and that's what the enemy wants all us to believe, that we can rebel. We can disobey the laws and commandments of the Bible, and it's no punishment, or better yet, it's no consequences. That's a lie from the pits of hell. A lot of people is suffering the consequences because of their disobedience and their rebellious to the laws and principles of God, but they are so blind and so in bondage with sin that they can't see and they don't realize it. Oh my goodness, 6:17, and I came out sharing with you what the Lord put on my heart. Father, I do thank and praise you for this opportunity. We bless you. I thank you for those that have tuned in. I thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that breathing over the airways right now. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that is breathing over the airways right now. I thank you for bringing enlightenment and understanding to those that have tuned in. I thank you that you've given us a word that would encourage them as well as stir them as well. I thank you we cover this broadcast, those that have tuned in, with the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against all interference in Jesus' name. Amen. But we're going to get back to that, but I just want to let you know, I want you to be encouraged. I know there's a lot of things happening. I know everybody don't have the same experience. They're not dealing with the same thing. But let me tell you something. I know a God who is having to be my Father now. Our Creator is concerned about each and every one, regardless to your race, your color, your God, your ethnic. God is concerned, and God loves everybody. I know the enemy has been trying to get a start of civil war between the color of your skin. Y'all, don't fall for that. That's the enemy. That is Satan. God loves everybody because all of us, all humans, all human, we were created in his image and his likeness. Don't let the enemy put hatred and bitterness in your heart. Don't let him do it. If you're a born again believer and you don't allow bitterness and resentment and out getting your heart, go before the Lord and ask the Lord to forgive you and help you, because that is not the will of God. I want you to hear me. The enemy gonna always go to extreme measure to try to get you and I to discredit, to dishonor God, and to go against him. But we don't need to do that, and that's why in Hebrews 11 chapter, that's what it ministered to me so much, because I'm reading about people that it even said in one part of it how they died without receiving the promise. A lot of things that God promised these people, they did not live to see it happen. But even in, and they were still expecting and believing God to do what God said he was going to do. And that's something I'm finding out. When trials and tribulation come, I want you to hear me, when your faith being tested, that's the time you got to really embrace. Listen at me good. The old saint used to use the terminology, you got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Well, I found out the way you do that is by continue to believe and trust in what God's word say. If you have to reach back to last year or last month, when God did the miraculous, when you got to still hold on. And I'm telling we in that time, I have people calling me from time to time, and they be talking about how grocery, how everything just done went up. But you know what? Let's stop magnify how the prices of things done went up, and magnify that you in the kingdom of God. That lets you know if the price is not increased, guess what? God done increased what he going to give you to sustain you. You know, I thank God, you know, when I go to the gas station, I just fill my automobiles up and thank God for it. God, I thank you. And I pray that this gas won't burn out quick, you know. But you got to focus on, and this is what the enemy doing. The enemy want us to lose focus on God. Now somebody said, why she always be talking about the enemy? Listen, I'm not magnifying the devil. I'm exposing him to you. Because a lot of times, some people they don't realize what the enemy is doing, and some of them don't know how to come back or counterattack what he's doing. The Bible says he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. The Bible tells us that Satan is under our feet. The Bible tells us that the greater one is in us. What's coming against you, these evil forces, is the weak one. I want to encourage you to let you know, yes, Satan is, but he is a defeated foe, and you got to know how to do warfare. He's targeting your soul. He's targeting your in my mind. He wants us to murmur and complain, because God tells us not to murmur and complain. But as I stated, we've been talking about the covenant, and as I stated, it's two people in a covenant. And everything that God promises, if we really get a knowledge and an understanding about God's covenant, oh, man, you wouldn't have to just sit back and pick out, well, the day I need prosperity, so now I got to try to seek it. How do I get God to supply my need? Well, I got a pain in my body. I need to see God about this pain in my body. Well, my children need to be saved. Well, I guess I got to seek God. Listen, all of that is in the covenant. That's part of your covenant and my covenant with God. The number one thing we need to really focus on is making sure that we're walking in obedience and seeking out the face of God through his word. Okay, I'm gonna start at that. We're at that 17th verse. So I'm gonna read about the 17th verse. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you. We thank you. Remember, I said that in Hebrews 11:13. Just to confirm what I said, it said these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. How did they see them afar off? They trust what God said. I really believe I'm not going to live to see a lot of things that God said in his word. But guess what? That ain't going to stop me from expecting it that I see it in my time. If I don't, it's okay. Because God done, I'm fully persuaded if he said he'll do it. Yes, sometimes I might have to wrestle with doubt and unbelief and cast down these thoughts and imagination that exalt itself above the knowledge of what God says, but God still to do what he said. Okay, in that 17th verse, it's about faith. Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Now, then we know what he's talking about when God told him to offer up Isaac. Abraham, well, you know what I believe will really persuade Abraham Abraham was willing to give up Isaac because God had told him he was going to be blessed through Isaac. The blessing was going to come through Isaac. So now the same God told him, I think he was about 75, when God promised to give him a son, okay? And I think he came about 24 years later. Well, I believe that's what gave Abraham the blessed assurance of causing him to be fully, let me slow it down. I believe that's what gave Abraham the blessed assurance. Now, this is the same one that told me that he was going to give me a son. You go to Genesis 15, and it talk about when God made a covenant with him. But Abraham said, how I know you're going to do this? And God put Abraham in a deep sleep. After Abraham got the, you know, the burden and divided, you know, the sacrifice up. But it's according to covenant, each one supposed to walk through it. But Abraham was asleep. God was the only one to walk through it. And the Bible said God made a covenant with Abraham. A covenant always, blood always seal a covenant if you do some study on it. But my point is, it's about faith. Abraham, when he was tried, tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise off of his only. Now, it's showing you right here that Isaac, not Isaac, Abraham, when he was being tested of God, that, you know, to see will he withhold anything from God. And y'all, sometimes we are tested too. Better yet, sometimes we are tried to see if we're going to withhold anything from God. And Abraham, one translator said he would test it, you know, some seldom. But anyway, the point was, I believe that Abraham, I got fully persuaded because when God told him he was going to give him a son, he was 75, but he didn't come till he was 100. When God, when Isaac came through, and therefore Abraham said, now, this the same one told me he was going to give me a son. And if he's telling me to offer him up as a sacrifice, well, guess what? He's going to have to resurrect him. He's going to have to bring him back from the dead because this the one that telling me this is the same one that told me over 25 years ago that he was going to give me a son. And on his appointed time, he restored Sarah in my youth so she could have my son. Now, so I know if he did that, he'll do this. And see, that's the thing I want us to know about covenant. Covenant is about having a relationship. Like I said, covenant is between two people. Even in this new covenant, and Jesus sealed it, it even tells us, I'll read in that before we came on, how the blood of Jesus sealed this covenant. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, you get in Hebrews. I tell anybody, read all the Hebrews. Hebrews got some good stuff in there. And it talk about how he sealed it. The blood of Jesus sealed this covenant. You hear me? The blood of Jesus was the one that sealed this covenant. It's in Hebrews, the 9th chapter. And y'all know Prophet Miller. I be wanting you to put your eyes on it. Put your eyes on it. It tell us in that Hebrews, the 9th chapter, and it tell us in the 11th verse, I'm going to read it because I like to put my eyes on it. It said, but Christ being come as a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. But if the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes of heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to purify of the flesh, how much more shed the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purging your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgression that was under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. And like I said, when you go, that's why, go back and read it. That's why you can plead the blood of Jesus as a born-again believer. You can plead the blood of Jesus against the enemy. If he attacking you for sickness or disease, trying to bring strife and division in your home, trying to torment your mind, trying to bring stress, come on, somebody, you can plead the blood of Jesus against it. The blood of Jesus is more powerful than bulls and goats. The blood speak. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there was no remission for sin. But anyway, as I stated here, God told him to offer up Isaac. But see, like I said, Abraham and God had a relationship. They was in covenant. And that's the thing about a covenant. It's between two people. And God have made it possible in this new covenant that we can have a relationship. The Bible said we can go boldly to the throne. It used to be the time up under the old covenant. Couldn't nobody go before God or go in the tabernacle but the high priest. They was the only one assigned to do it. In this new covenant, God done made it possible through the shed blood of Jesus. You and I can go in his presence. You get, and like I said, if you go and do some study on, could nobody go but the high priest. Now, the Bible also tells us in the book of Peter that we are high priests. We can go to God and we can talk to him because of the blood of Jesus. Oh, yes, you can. You can talk to him. You ain't got to wait to Sunday or Wednesday, whenever you go to service, and call somebody. Go petition God. Now, I can call someone and say, touch and agree with me. But I don't have to call nobody and say, petition God for me. That's part of my covenant right. That's part of that better covenant that I have with him. But anyway, I want to go on with that 17th verse. It tells us that. And there, too, again, it was through Abraham owed faith and obedience to follow God's instruction that he came to be the father of many nations. That's how it came to be. And I'm telling you, obedience is so important. I want you to hear me. I don't know what it is, but sometimes the enemy wants us to believe once you get born again, you don't have to obey God. Y'all, his consequences to disobedience. And that's what I was trying to show you on Monday about Matthew, the 7th chapter. Listen, y'all, God wants our commitment, our devotion to him. And Jesus made it possible. But then he gone to say, and he that had received the promise off of his own, he told my God. Abraham offered up his son, were willing to offer, and guess what? God offered up his only begotten son for us. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. And I thank God for Jesus. If it wasn't for Jesus, Jesus was the only one that God made covenant with that obeyed every law. Jesus fulfilled the law. That's why when you go and read the four gospels, you see what it's still talking about. They were constantly fighting against Jesus. You know, I was reading this morning in Luke. I think it's in Luke the 26th. I was reading in Luke about the woman that Satan had bound up. Come on, somebody. Y'all know about the woman that Satan had bound up all them years? She had been bound, but she was a daughter of Abraham. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, the word just blesses me. I don't know about y'all. I just get excited. It's in Luke, the 13th chapter, and Satan had bound this woman up and really believed for 18 years she would bow down. She couldn't lift, she couldn't stand straight up or lift her head up straight and look up. And Jesus healed her on Sabbath day. Now, if you go back and study the four gospels, most of Jesus' healing, or better yet, he did a lot of healing on Sabbath day. And every time he did it, those Jews that was law keepers, they always would talk about it. And they would get inscribed. They would try to get inscribed with Jesus about it, but Jesus didn't get inscribed. But especially when it came down to females, and I did this in one of our teachings, up under the old covenant, females wasn't really honored. That's why most in the four gospels, Jesus talked about females. He always brought up a female. But when they talked about it, when those Jews those scribes and Pharisees, they always were being little of females. That's another story. But in Galatians, the third chapter, because of the finishing work of Jesus, it tells it's nor male nor female, not Jew, Gentile, Greek, but we all are one in Christ Jesus. Jesus, it's, y'all, I'm telling you, when you study about the finishing work of Jesus or the coming, you'll find out it's nothing that as the old folks said, he didn't leave not one stone unturned. He fulfilled everything. And that's why you, my brother, you, my sister, whatever you experiencing right now, so I can hear some saying, but Prophet Miller, you just don't know my situation. I don't, as I said all the time. But you need to know God know your situation. And God is concerned about you. God love you, and God is concerned about you. Yes, he is. God is concerned about you. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be fulfilled. He done made a way for you, but God is not going to make you do anything. But it said that how God offered his only begotten son, and God offered up Jesus for us. And you know the good part about that, as I stated a lot of times, Jesus was obedient. He went to the cross willing. Now, according to the full gospel, you know, it kind of got a little heavy for him. And he had to pray in the God of Gethsemane and ask the Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass, nevertheless my will. But Jesus know from the beginning it was God's will for him to go to the cross. But as it came near the time for him to go, his soul got heavy, got overwhelmed. His soul got heavy, and he needed some strength. And I tell you, I'm so glad they put that in there. You know, the Lord ever done told you to do something and fear try to grip you. You know, you observing and listening and seeing things, and you get overwhelmed and fear come in there. Come on, somebody. But you know, you can still trust and believe God when fear come. Fear gonna show up. And I found that out. Most of the time when God telling us to do stuff, fear gonna come up. But one of the scriptures said, the least time when I'm afraid, I'm gonna trust in you. You just don't let fear stop you. Now, God, I'm kind of shaking a little bit, but I believe this is you, and I'm gonna go forward. I'm gonna do it because I believe it's you telling me to do it. And when you go through in Hebrews 11 chapter, I'm sure each one of them, if you and I could have a conversation with them, they'd tell you, fear showed up. I was a little shaky. I was a little nervous about it, you know. But I know what God said. They had that kind of relationship with the one that they came in covenant with. That covenant is between two people. You can communicate. And listen, there's someone out here now that, listen, God want to talk to you, but you've just been so busy. You've been, and then some of you, you've been so focused on your situation, you ain't had time to, you, or better yet, you ain't made time just to talk to him. He waiting on you. Okay, but then they're going to tell us, it's of whom it was said that in Isaiah, shall thy seed be called, accounted that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. And that's what I was saying. Abraham had matured to the point in God with his faith. If he promised that he'd do it, he the same one that told me that I was going to have a son from my own bow. And on his appointed time, he restored Sarah and I, our youth, that we was able, she was able to carry Isaac, carry him them 9 months, and then she turned around and had him. It between, what is it, 8 or 9 months? I don't know, I forgot. But anyway, she carried him. Some people carry a baby 8 months, some carry 9 months. But anyway, she was able to carry him and then turn around and deliver him. Only God can enable someone to do it. And listen, y'all, God is keeping us from falling, and we need to, but listen, you got to talk to yourself sometimes. You got to believe God. Because when I think about Noah, and Noah built that ark, God gave him persistence. Now, Noah had to, communicate with God. He had to recognize the voice of God in order for him to do it. When God carried on that conversation with Abe and Cain, they had to have a relationship with him. They had to be able to communicate. How would they know what to do when God haven't changed from that? God still want to talk to us. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes you want to watch the TV. I'm guilty. Sometimes we want to watch the TV. Sometimes we want to be on the phone. We want to be on the internet. We want to be doing this thing. And God, he's a gentleman. The old saint used to say that God is a gentleman. I didn't know what they were talking about. If you want to talk, he ain't going to bother you. But listen, he want to talk to these people. This is the point I really want. I hope I'm getting out. They was in covenant with God, but they had a relationship with God. And God gave them specific instruction what to do. And you know, a lot of times I get, Prophet, I wish God would talk to me. God don't talk to me. Is it because you too busy? Or is it because you don't recognize his voice? Is it because you so busy focused on the problem and not the solution to the problem? God is the solution. Jesus made it possible. All of God promised is yes and amen. But y'all, I'm telling you, we got to get out of disobedient and rebellious. What is rebellion? That means to know what the will of God, but you substitute what you want. Yeah, I know what God say, but y'all listen, we can't do that and expect the best from God. Come on, I know sometimes we don't want nobody to tell us, but the Bible don't only tell us about the blessing of God, but it also talk about the consequences when we disobey him. And all of these in Hebrews 11, all of them had this in common. They was in covenant with God. They had a relationship with God. They was able to communicate with God. And whatever God told them to do, they did it. Are you following me? And listen, they trust in an unseen God, but they was able to hear his voice, and they was able to see him manifest himself through their situation. Well, look, that's what God want to do for you. As I stated, I can hear some people say something, but she just don't know what I'm dealing with. I agree with you, but I'm telling you about a God that knows. And he want to get involved in it, but you got to invite him. You got to believe and trust him. Do like one of the scriptures my mom used to use when I was a child, and I still I can remember it. Every time something happened to any of us, get sick, and my mom would go get the 23rd song in St. John, the 14th chapter. Let not your heart be troubled, yet believe in God, also believe in me. In my father's house, many mentions. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I mean, and I'm telling you, and God would always come through too. That reminds me, Hebrews, it tells you, he that come to God must believe that God is. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seeketh him. Y'all, I'm telling you, this stirred me up because I done read the whole 11th chapter. Hebrew, and to see what they, how God will always come into their rescue. That, like I said, there too again, that's what really ministered to me, how God always came to their rescue. You know, call on Jesus, you know, and God was always there. He will always come to their rescue. Hallelujah. I'm going to read it from another translation, that 20 verse, Hebrew 11 and 20. It's the Isaac was the son who had been promised to Abraham and Sarah in their old age. It was through Isaac that God fulfilled his promise to eventually give Abraham countless descendants. Isaac had twin sons, Jacob and Esau. God chose the youngest son, Jacob, through whom to continue the fulfillment of his promise for Abraham. Jacob and Isaac. Jacob was Isaac's son and Abraham's grandson. Jacob's son became the father of Israel's 12 tribes. Even when Jacob was died in a strange land, he believed the promise that Abraham descended would be like the sand of the seashore and that Israel would become a great nation. True faith helps us see beyond the grave And see what you say. The point I'm reading, because so many times, some of us, we, it's the old saying she used to say, I know I'm doing this repetitious, but they always encourage me. They would say, I got some on the altar. That means they was believing God for some. And the ones that I was around, the late Mother Curry, Martha, the late Martha Jean, Apostle Ida Bell Parker, they would dance about, I know God gonna do it. I just thank God for doing it. Oh, he got this. They faith and confidence in God. It really encouraged me. And God was real to them. When they would talk about God, it wasn't like they talking about somebody far off. But somebody was so close. When they would talk about God, it made me feel like God would be in the car with them. Be sitting right down the pew in church with them when they talk about him. That was the reality. God was real to these people. And they would talk about, and sometimes they'd get up and get a testimony, and they'd tell you, if I don't see you no more, I see you on the other side. I mean, they had this blessed assurance because they had a relationship with God. And they was committed, and they was devoted. All of these people, what we read here in the Hall of Faith, as I call, they not only had covenant, but they was in relationship. They were devoted, and they was committed to the things of God. And like I said, that's what kind of get me when I see we got a better covenant. And in my surrounding, what I see with some people, and they walk around here saying, pull me and owe me, and you got a better covenant with God. The Spirit of God is on the inside of you. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, you ought to say, Holy Spirit, I need you. If you're not operating in your prayer language, you ought to pray and ask him for your prayer language. Because it said, when I pray in my prayer language, when I pray in tongues, it pray the perfect will of God. Y'all, that's why Apostle Peter said in the Second Peter, the first chapter, we have everything we need to live and have a victorious life on this earth. But I found out, until your spiritual eyes come open, you ain't going to know how. The Bible said, God teach our hand to fight. God have to teach us how to fight in the spirit realm. Because Ephesians 6 tells us we ain't wrestling with flesh and blood. And in this hour, listen, when you experiencing a battle, when the enemy coming at you in every way, that's when you going to have to girl up your learn with truth. What you mean by that, prophet? You going to have to get your head in your Bible. Read that word. Read it to yourself. Read it to the enemy. Hallelujah. But I want to read that because, like I said, this is so important. Okay? In that 21 verse, it's about faith. Isaac led Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, even before Isaac died, Isaac was on his deathbed and he blessed his two sons. Well, you know, one of them tricked him, you know. But see, even with that, I wonder sometimes, do some parents, as born-again believers, do you not know you can bless your children? You know, even some parents, if you pray for your children in the morning before they go to school or before they leave the house, you ought to begin to bind and decree what God said about them. I have two grandsons. One played basketball in Umbra State College, and the other, he in Pittsburgh, he played football. Well, he had to leave last Friday to go back to school for football camp. And I told him, he came over and I laid my hands on him. And I said, Father, I thank you for my grandson. I said, according to your word, you said you would bless my seed, and this is my seed. Now, Father, I just decree that he playing football, I forbid any broken bones. I thank you, Father, that you're going to protect him. I cover him with the blood of Jesus. I decree no evil going to befall him, neither the plague come near his dwelling. I thank you for bringing other godly children in his path, Father. I thank you, God, your angel is watching him as he go over the blessed highway. I just begin to bless him because he my seed. And see, you can do that. You can pray for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. You can do that. That's part of your covenant right. You know, now don't get me wrong. They used to always say, tell God about it. Y'all listen, it's some things I do have to tell God about it. Now, I have to acknowledge him in all my ways. I can talk to him about it, but when it comes down, you can lay hands on yourself. You can lay, now, that woman in Luke, the 13th chapter, she didn't even know she was a daughter of Abraham. Some of you don't even know. That's why I hear people say we have identity, Christ, in the body of Christ. That means you don't know who you are. And you're looking for somebody else to pray for you. You're looking for somebody to take authority over the enemy. You do that. You can, he said, whatever you bind, whatever you forbid, whatever you call unlawful, the moment a pain hits your body, if you come into the knowledge of his God will for you to be healed. Why is it we can read in the four gospels, everybody came to Jesus, he healed them. But now it's like we feel like everybody go to the Lord, now he won't heal them. Where the shortage is not in God, it's in us. And I tell people, when you pray and believe in God for somebody else, you might be believing one thing and they could be believing something else. My late mentor, Martha Jean Hill, I never forget. She was sick and they said she had tumors, a lot of tumors in her body. And I won't forget, before she went in, she told me, she said, Prof. Miller, I want to live, don't let me die. But then she told this other minister, Apostle Mamie Lee Wilson, she told her that she was tired and she was ready to go home. And I won't forget, that Friday night, we stayed up all night, and I rebuked and I was binding and come again from there for all night. And when she died, Apostle Wilson came to me and she told me, she said, Prophet Miller, she said, she called her Martha Jean. She said, Martha Jean had not told me that she was tired. And she just wanted to go home. I said, I'm going to get her. I said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to get her. But see, my point is, when you praying for someone else, a lot of times, if they say, you need to find out what is they will. Y'all, God honor people will. I want you to get, God honor our will to the point, if you don't want God to help you, he ain't going to bother you. God ain't going to override your will. That's why it appears when you go and read in Genesis about what happened between with Adam and Eve. You didn't see God try to force them. Don't y'all do it. He know they were finna do the wrong thing. He didn't mess with them. He told them not to. But as after they will, they choose to. And you and I have to, when it come down to somebody, don't get all bent out of shape when it's somebody else's will. The best thing, ask them. Most times when I pray for people, I say, now, wait a minute now. What is you praying about? What you saying to God? Especially if they dealing with, you know, some kind of illness, internal disease or something like that, I ask them. Because there too again, the shortest is never in God. Or sometimes when asked the pain increase, they just get weary and they say, you know what, I don't want to do it no more. And I wish sometimes they would tell us, ain't that right? They would, you know, and come on, I'm being honest because sometimes we can let other people experience, as I stated in the beginning, we can let other people experience, cause us to catch away our confidence and lose faith in God. Your faith and my faith is in what God's word say. Because I done been around enough of a lot of people in her life. And from there, even with my grandmother, I'm believing God for her to live. She was 103. My grandmama was ready to go home and stuff like that. And I'm telling you, you need to find out what they will is. You might want them to live, but they might be saying, I'm ready just to go home and be with the Lord. And if that's what they want to do, let them people go. If that's what they want to do. But listen, don't cast away your confidence and say, well, God didn't heal them. I don't know why. You stick with God. You said, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm here. I'm going to stick with that. What you do, you develop your faith. So Sometimes I have young people be talking about their parents, the way I was raised, and they didn't do this, and they didn't. Well, if they didn't do it, how about you do it now, since you grown? How about what your parents didn't do? You take it upon yourself, I'm going to do this. But don't let the enemy have you playing that blame game on somebody. Thank God your parents loved you enough to let you come on the earth and with the help of the Lord, and they did all they could do. If you didn't like the way they raised you, make your start your own landmark. Come on, somebody. That grieved God. It bothers me when I hear children say that. I would be better in my life if my dad and mama would have did this. You're overlooking what they did do for you. And it's the same way with God. Stop letting the enemy cause you the always mommy complain, and God didn't do this, and why won't God do this? Read your Bible, and you'll see he done did all he said he was going to do. His on you. As those things say, here I go with those things. Listen, the ball is in your court. You had a ball in your hand. Now, what you going to do with it? Come on now. You going to throw some curveballs? It's in your hand. Ain't that what God told Moses? Moses standing up there complaining about the Red Sea in the front and Pharaoh about no, he was talking to God about it. And God said, Moses, be quiet. What's in your hand? I believe God telling some of you, be quiet. Stop all that mummy complaining. I done gave you authority over the power of the enemy. I done gave you my name. I done gave you the blood. I gave you my word. Now what you going to do? Come on, somebody. I know sometimes we don't want nobody to talk to us like that, but I'm telling you the truth. These people in Hebrews 11, they had faith. Let me get on down because it's 6:56. I'm coming in. I got to close. It's about faith. Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. I'm going to stop right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for your word today. And Father, I ask you to forgive us for walking in disobedience and rebelling against you. I pray you continue to open up our eyes how powerful and how disobedient and rebellion will intercept and hinder us from having or experience that abundant life. I thank you for those that tune into this broadcast. I thank you for strengthening them. I thank you for bringing enlightenment and revelation to them, Father. I take authority. I rebuke every discomfort. I rebuke premature and overwhelming grief in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for supplying every need. I thank you for strengthening your people. Thank you for renewing their strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was Apostle Willie Ann Miller. We're going to continue. We're going to pick up on Monday, Hebrews 11th chapter, that 22nd verse. Do some study on the covenant. I tell you, here to bless you and I encourage you. Listen, enjoy the rest of your evening. God love you. God love you. And God wants you to experience that abundant life. But there too again, it's going to be done according to your faith.